Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, we're going to be talking with Joe Cooper about his book, Daydreamer to Dreamcatcher, which shares his amazing story of struggling for years with dyslexia, being forced out of his home at a young age, incarceration in the juvenile justice system, homelessness, and struggles with drugs and alcohol. And then finally, through sheer determination, connecting with a librarian who helped Joe to learn to read in the process helped him to change his life. We have with us the author himself, Joe and Melody Cooper, his wife. After reading your book, A Daydreamer to Dreamcatcher, It really, it blew me over. I mean, it is phenomenal. And it hasn't always been that easy for you. You've had a journey to deal with. Let's start from the beginning and talk about really your childhood and how that all worked out.
Yes, in my childhood, I had four sisters and one brother. In school, back in them days, it was like maybe 65 kids in one class, one principal, one school teacher. And if you were slow, you were just left behind. And I was very, very slow. And I didn't understand why I was so slow. It was because that my sisters and brothers, they could read and write, and they made good grades and everything. So when I come home every day, I'd always get letters and things, bad grades, and couldn't pay attention to what was going on in school. But that was like 2-3 years later, they tested me to find out that I was dyslexic. And at that point in my life, nobody knew what dyslexia were, so they didn't know how to treat it or what to do. So I can say this is what this book was called, Daydreamer to Dreamcatcher, was because that I would be in school dreaming about maybe being a doctor, hamburger, or just being a fireman or airplane, just something great. I love boxing and different things. So that's really where that book came from, Daydreamer to Dreamcatcher.
And through a lot of this book, there was an attitude of people that you came in contact with that kept saying, oh, you're untrainable. What did that do to your own thinking of yourself?
Well, being in school and you have that many kids in a classroom and a teacher would ask you to get up and go to the bulletin board or to spell something, and I would go up there and I would just stand there, or maybe she would ask me to do a math problem, and I really didn't understand what math, I didn't understand about writing, and I would just stand there, and finally the teacher would just tell me to sit down, and she was going to contact my mother that afternoon. So when I got home, I would always get whippings behind all these things because I overheard a conversation that my father says, well, we'll just whoop him. We'll get him to where he can pay attention during this all, because he thought because of dyslexia, well, we'll just discipline and it'll go away. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it didn't go away. It just made matters worse because I didn't understand why I was getting all these whippings and different things, and everybody was making fun of me, calling me special ed or those different things, and that's kind of painful. So that was when the anger kind of started in.
Well, and that's understandable because obviously, I mean, when you go home, nobody said, Joe, I'm sorry about, your hard day and this, the emotions that go through that. You had nothing.
I created my own thing. I guess I had to create something, but unfortunately, what I created, I didn't really like. After I became homeless, I went back to my mother's house and I broke in and I got some food. And I got a pair of shoes and a pair of my father's socks. And I went back out in the park because I was staying out in the park. And the police came and picked me up and said that they had a warrant for my arrest of breaking in my mother's house. I did 11 months and 29 days for that plate of food. That was just some of the things that happened, that I was growing very bitter. And I've been in the Job Corps. I've been in the National Guards. I've been in the Army. And all of those places that I went, they said that I was so severe with dyslexia that they couldn't teach me how to read or trainable to learn how to read. And then I'm thinking to myself, wow, what am I going to do with my life? You know what? And at that point, I had run and applied for Social Security. Mm-hmm. And Social Security told me, said that they tested me and they said I tested out of third grade education.
Right.
And they said, if I achieve anything more than a third grade education, take that and run with it. So they give me $500 a month to sit at home and do nothing.
Okay.
After I got on Social Security, they assigned someone because I couldn't write a check. I couldn't go in the bank and do my banking. Mm-hmm. And so the lady that they assigned me to, she went in there and stole every dime that I had out of the bank. And so I knew then I was in some major trouble. And I says, Lord, I looked up at the sky and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Here we go again. I'm facing the streets again. I left and I started walking. I looked up and I seen a library. I was trying to pronounce the word library. So I figured it out and I walked in and it so happened it was in the children area. And I says, is there anyone in here can teach me how to read? And about 13 years ago, that's how I met Sue Smith. She was a lady who helped me write the book. And from that point on, I learned how to read, and so she said, Joe, what do you like? What do you like to read? Sports, anything? I said, I like reading the Bible. I go to church. And I always tell people that I had a PhD in excuses why I couldn't do certain things or reading things. And so when the preacher would come around and ask me to read my lessons, I would always give him an excuse why I couldn't read it, because actually I didn't want to tell him that I couldn't read. And not understanding what you're reading, I mean, I never got anything out of it. I used to look at pictures and create my own stories. And that was makeup stories. And so now I actually really pick up books and read them. I believe in God. Because if it hadn't been for God, I would have been, because I went from drugs to alcohol to so many different things that thinking that that would help me.
You talk about a chapter that negative friends, the cool friends are a negative.
People would always tell me, man, I got your back. And I say now that if anybody tell you they got your back, take off running. One thing I learned in life, the best friend you're going to ever have in life, and that's you and God, because God will not deny you. Man will deny you so many things, because I had to, every door that was shut in my face, I had to go back through all of those doors and reopen them. And I said, Lord, I can't sing. I can't dance. What have I got left to do? So I said, okay, now I got to change my attitude. Why am I so angry? Am I just so angry because I can't read and write? Am I just so angry because I can't get a good job? I went through so many different things. I know Melanie went through so many different things.
Right.
And I was so worried about, and even she worried about how with my family and how, because even then I got a lot of negative from a lot of people before me and Melanie got married. Mm-hmm. They would say like, wow, you done been through all these different things and you get ready to marry. I said, have you ever seen a heart? Do you know what our heart looks like inside another person? I mean, Melanie just was a charming. She was very sweet. I mean, whatever we do it together, you know. So, and she can actually speak on that if she likes.
Melody, how about it?
We have been married. It will be 5 years in November. And I tell you, this is the best life I ever had. Because like Joe said, we both had it wrong.
Because you had struggles, too.
I had struggles. I had ups and downs. I was calling him wondering, no, what am I going to do? But just like he said, I've learned in the 41 years, if you put God first in your life, there's nothing you can't do. My life now is I'm happy. It took me a long time to get there.
Right, and it always does.
But now I can truly say, I have a husband that I love dearly, that I know love me. I have a home. I have a couple cars. I have a good job that I love. We got a big butt yard. We get out there, we cook out. We have fun.
I want to come over now.
I want to do.
All right.
And we just enjoy life.
Joe, let's talk a little bit about Miss Sue.
Uh-huh.
You call her in the chapter your drill instructor.
Yes.
But I love the fact that she said, Joe, she said, you're not stupid. She said, you just can't read. Mm-hmm. She said, I can tell in your eyes that you're intelligent. Mm-hmm. And you said, do you know what that does to a drowning man? How did that make you feel that a human being was telling that to a human being?
Well, it was sort of like I would not look people in the eyes. I was afraid because I isolated myself because I didn't want to talk to people. I always thought everybody was bad, you know, because here it is. I'm a big guy. I mean, I don't want to fight nobody. I just want to live my life. And so I could not look directly in people's eyes. And I was always walking with my head down and stuff. And I remember one day she says, Joe, she says, you are very intelligent. And no one never, ever told me that. I was struggling with a word that was called laughter because I could not hear the sound of it. And she said, that's okay, Joe. You're going to get it. I tried 23 times before I could actually pass the written test to get my driving license. And each time, she always had something encouraging to say to me. She said, Joe, don't worry about it. We're going to get it. She said, look, Joe, before I even met Melanie, she said that you're going to have a job. You're going to have a car. You're going to have a wife and all these different things. And I looked at her and I said, you know.
You laughed at her, didn't you?
I laughed at her. I said, wow, you must be talking about somebody else. Yeah. And she said, no, I'm talking about you. And so I knew then that Sue was not a stranger. She says, you know, Joe, you ought to write a book because you got so much stuff that's going on in your life. And I think it would help change a lot of people out there of way of thinking, especially with people that have disabilities and things. There's a fight. And what bothers me is a lot of time that they want to help themselves and society looks at it, okay, it's a bad risk.
Yes.
I have never, ever figured out how it is a bad risk for a person to have a home, a car, a living normal, and different things. So that was what we really talked about, me and Sue. I mean, a lady that I didn't even know that came up to me and you know, helped me to learn how all these different things. She didn't do it for me. And I says, wow, I ran away to my dreams. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm. I ran away, mm-hmm. but I was actually running to my dreams, mm-hmm. and I had no idea that I were. It started working. I got a job there, started in housekeeping. Couldn't read chemicals, couldn't read labels. And I said, right. Lord, they're going to let turn me loose with all these chemicals and things. What are they thinking? So after I got a job in housekeeping, I got a job in communication. Uh-huh. Now, I remember the lady came up to me. She was the director. She said, can you operate a printer machine? And I said, yes, ma'am, I can. I've never seen a printer machine a day in my life. This is how much confidence she have helped me to build up. Uh-huh. She said, the director said, whether you can or not, you got 6 months to learn it. I learned every job in that building because that way, if anything ever happened, I would have a job.
Right.
So now, this is at the library now, this Friday, 12 years.
Let's talk about your family. How in the world do you forgive them?
I'm the kind of person that I believe in God first. I could have hated everybody. I could have did multiple things.
Sure.
God didn't have that in his plans for me. What he did have in his plans for me was to go on. I went home for Christmas and my sister surprised me because in my mother's house in her living room, she got all of these great big old pictures. My sister-in-law, a photographer studio. And she got all of these big photos of all, everybody in the family. So mine wasn't there. And so it was at Christmas time. She said, now, y'all come around. And I had this suit on. And she had this red big old picture of me standing there. And they hung it on the wall. And everybody just looked. And we, you know, that was one of the highlights of the moments of my life.
You belong to somebody.
I belong, you know. And it took all my life to realize, even though I did. But sometimes our minds, and we're blinded by so many different things that we can't see because at the time I was just worrying about the education, the friends, mm-hmm. how I was going to fit in. And you see, that's what happens to a lot of people in the world today. They just want to fit in and they don't care what it costs them to fit in. But mm-hmm. I found out that I don't have to do that anymore.
Melody, looking at Joe, obviously you know him as a husband. I mean, what do you want people to know about Joe?
I'm proud. I'm not only proud to be his wife, My positive sin.
So, Joe, you, this book was phenomenal. And I you just told me before we interviewed that there's another one in the works.
Yes, there are another book in the works.
I cannot wait. What is it? What is it about? And how can people get the book then?
Mostly, it's got a lot to do with the education. Like I said, getting a home or taking control of your life is being just like we're normal people. We get up, put on our clothes, we go to work. Mm-hmm. It's just so much that people like ourselves that we just really don't know, that people don't take time out and explain to us. And like when I go to juvenile centers and things like that, and you see the first day in a child tell me, my mother's locked up, my father's locked up, so nobody loves me. So this is why it's so important for me, because I say the same thing that they're saying now. And I had to grow from step to step, baby steps at a time. Mm-hmm. And so when you go into the prison, I go into the women's prison, the juvenile centers and things, and it's just lack of communications. It's lack of love. It's a lack of somebody just sitting down and having a normal conversation with you.
I have to tell you, I was so excited to interview y'all.
Thank you. And if
to all my viewers, if you have not read A Daydreamer to Dreamcatcher, you need to read this book and get Joe's next book. I will get the next book. I know I will. Thank you, Melody and Joe Cooper. You have been an inspiration to a lot of people, and I thank you so much for interviewing today.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you so much to our viewers, and have a great day. Bye-bye.